Hey everyone, in case you haven't noticed, we live in some confusing, challenging, and changing times. It sure isn't easy following Jesus in 2023. How can we stay grounded in our faith, stay true to biblical convictions, and become more like Christ all the while speaking the truth in love with the lost and hurting around us? This is Real Christian Talk with Pastor Steve. Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Real Christian Talk. At the time of recording this episode, exactly a week earlier, we were all made aware of yet another tragic school shooting, this time taking place in Nashville, Tennessee, at a small Christian private school. Images of children having to be led out of the school, fleeing for their lives in terror. Images of children crying on the school bus as they were being driven away from the building. Images of parents that were scrambling, seized with terror and fear that their children had been killed. Images of police rushing into the building, and this time, doing it right. All these things have really profoundly affected my heart and my mind. And yet the lessons that I personally draw out of this whole story are so strongly in my heart that I really felt it was appropriate to share in this month's episode. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'll be reading verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." I'm going to read that again. "Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." Everywhere. This passage of Scripture was very heavy upon my heart to share, to relay to all of you who are listening to the profound lessons that and reminders that I have personally gotten out of watching this whole story unfold. And there are many different lessons and many different aspects to this particular school shooting that have affected me, at least in terms of my mind. I don't know anyone who was involved down there, but this particular school shooting really struck a chord with me. You know, I think it's sad that as a society, we've become pretty numb, if I were to dare say, to these mass school shootings. I still remember when I was in school when Columbine happened. And Columbine was a major game changer in the way in which we look at these mass school shootings. And even now, almost 25 years since that massacre occurred, every subsequent school shooting and tragedy is usually compared back to Columbine. And so I'll never forget Columbine. And I'm sad to say that I believe we've become gradually desensitized and numb to these school shootings, to this epidemic that we seem to have, this disregard for the sacredness of human life. Now, I'm not in this episode going to venture into the debate over, gun control and gun laws and all that. I personally have no problem with sensible gun control, but I also believe that the problems that our society has are bigger than just that. But for me, this particular school shooting really struck a chord and really grabbed a hold of my heart for a few different reasons. For one thing, my own children are in private school. My children are not too much younger than some of the kids who were killed in that school shooting. And this school shooting was different. From what we know so far, we know that the shooter of this school shooting, identified as transgender, had attended the Christian school previously when she was younger, and the school was specifically targeted. Now, we don't know the ins and outs of motivation there, and I certainly, as a Christian, believe very strongly it's important that we, as Christians, continue to practice love and respect and kindness to everyone, everywhere, and not get into fear or fear-mongering or engage in hateful rhetoric. But I do believe that our culture has, for the last week, minimized what really happened here and not called it for what it really was, which was a hate crime. At least that's my own estimation. But the facts of specific details of the motives of the shooter and all that, I think hopefully soon will be released. And And we'll get more answers to that. But what was clear was that a small Christian private school was specifically targeted. An innocent life was taken. And for me as a pastor, I'm not going to lie to you all. I really was emotionally affected by this shooting in ways that I haven't been by one of these massacres in a while. And the reality is, when people go through things, unless you have some personal connection to it, you feel bad for them, you empathize maybe, have some sympathy, compassion, but it really strikes a chord with you when it affects someone that in some way is connected to your own world, so that way you can then imagine what that would be like for you. And the fact that the daughter of a pastor, the daughter of the pastor of that school and church was massacred and murdered, seeing images and memes and pictures of the pastor holding his little girl, it really struck a chord with me. It really broke my heart in ways that, that even now I'm still thinking about and still praying for him and for his family, for what I can't imagine they're having to go through with this. But out of curiosity, I kind of looked into who the pastor is of the church, and I ended up actually finding a clip of his sermon from just the day before this shooting took place. And I was really struck by this for several reasons. You know, he's a young pastor, again, kind of like myself, and he was given a really great message out of the Gospel of John. And you know, there were a few things that stuck out to me about the message as it relates to what he was going to go through. But the first thing that really struck me was just the thought that I'm watching a video of this pastor preaching to a large church, and he has no idea that less than 24 hours later, he was going to lose his child. He had no idea that within 24 hours, his entire world was going to crumble as he knew it and was going to flip and turn upside down. And that really struck me because that is so like life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You know, James tells us, what is your life? It is a mist that appears for a little while and that's gone. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. That's why the Bible tells us we shouldn't bother making strict ironclad plans without consulting the will and providence of God, because we do not know what tomorrow holds. But yet, as Christians, we know who holds tomorrow. But I can't imagine. It just was a sense of almost eeriness to watching this video of this man giving a great sermon, and he did not know that less than a day later he was going to lose his child to this shooting. And also, I was struck by how some of what he shared in the message directly could relate to what he was going to have to walk through and what he was going to have to go through. And one of the things he talked about out of his message was about how, at one point, how all the disciples of Jesus were going to suffer and end up dying and go through so much pain, but they were more than willing to do so because they loved Jesus and because they knew the outcome of what was to come in him. And he even quoted a line from Harry Potter, actually. And he made a joke, of course, about how, and even now as I say that, I know that some despise Harry Potter, some love Harry Potter, but he quoted a line from one of the books about how the character Harry had lost his mother tragically when he was just a baby, if you don't know the story, and she sacrificed herself for him. And at one line in the book that the pastor quoted, he talked about how Harry said that if he could just see his mom, that would be enough for him to just see her forever. That would be more than enough for him to have what he needed in order to be able to endure what he was going to go through. I'm paraphrasing here, but the essence of part of the pastor's message, particularly in the closing of it, really struck me because it very much could relate in a lot of ways to the suffering and pain that he and his family and church and community was now having to go through, that they did not expect they were going to have to go through. And it's a reminder to me and to all of us that even though we do not know what tomorrow holds, and if life has taught us anything, it's that it never plays out the way we think it will. It never plays out the way we think it should. Oftentimes we are befallen with circumstances that we didn't foresee, and with challenges that we didn't ever imagine we'd have to go through, or tragic losses that we never fathomed we were going to have to endure. And yet, God is not surprised by what we have to go through. God is not surprised by any of the things that surprise us. He's not surprised. He knew that this pastor and his family were going to lose their child the next day. God knew that was going to happen. He didn't, the family didn't, but God knew. God is not taken by surprise by anything that takes us by surprise. You know, one of the images I remember from Columbine, and Columbine always comes on my mind around this time of the year because for two reasons. One, because it was April of 1999 that the Columbine massacre took place, but also because the spiritual message that came out of Columbine did play a role in the spiritual trajectory of my own life. I was a teenager when Columbine happened, and Rachel Joy Scott was one of the martyrs of that shooting, and she wrote a journal that detailed all kinds of deep thoughts and struggles and questions about God and her faith, and I was struck by that, and I was struck by the way in which she's reported to have died, the way in which she met her fate clinging to her faith in God, even in the face of the barrel of a gun. And that really inspired me. The way she died for Jesus inspired me to want to live for him. And so I look back at Columbine and I see how God used what happened there that was so horrible and so tragic, and he used it to do something good in my own life and in my own spiritual walk and trajectory. And I believe that that's how God works with tragedies like this. But one of the images that I'll never forget from that day was the parking lot of the cars of those victims from Columbine. And the car that Rachel Scott had driven to school that day was filled with flowers, and crosses were on it. And one of them had a cross that said, "For God is already there." And that really struck a chord with me, because at least the way I took that, even though I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, and I don't know what hardships I'm going to have to face and endure and what challenges I'm going to have to go through, I can know that God is already there. And the scriptures tell us that repeatedly, that the Lord is our rear guard, that he is behind and before and beside us. And so as we navigate life and we live it day to day, God tells us to live it one day at a time, and to trust him for each day, and to not worry about or be anxious about what tomorrow holds, because that's just going to waste today. And I think that has profound truth to it. You know, when God called Abraham, he told him, "Go to the land, I will show you." He doesn't tell him exactly where he's going to go and the journey ahead. And yet God tells him to go to the land he would show him, telling him to trust him for each step of the journey that lay ahead, even though he did not give him all the details of what that journey would entail. And that goes to the heart for me of what this Bible passage tells us from 2 Corinthians. That passage says that thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. There's a couple of things right there that I think are important for us to take with us and to ponder and to reflect on. The first is that God is the one who is leading us. God is the one who is ultimately in control. Even though we don't understand why he permits the things that he does, and we can get into a deep theological discussion, and I just wrote a paper for a class I'm taking about Job and the suffering he went through. And you know, in Job, throughout the story of Job, he asked God questions, and his friends asked him questions, and throughout the book, Job's asking God why. And when God finally speaks, he does not technically answer any of Job's questions. He answers Job's questions with questions of his own. And the questions that God asks Job are designed to tell Job, I'm God, you're not. In other words, as Isaiah says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great are my ways, higher than your ways. God's ways of operating are mysterious and are beyond our understanding. And that's why the scriptures tell us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Because even though we don't see where God's leading us or how he's going to use things he allows us to go through to further his good that he is working in our lives, 2 Corinthians 3 promises us that God is the one who in Christ is always leading us. He is leading us. Jesus said in John 10 that he holds us in his hand, that no one can take us out of the Father's hand. We are in his hands. That does not mean that we will be spared going through hurt and pain and trials and adversities and tragedies and loss or difficulties or challenges, but it does tell us that God is ultimately sovereign. He is ultimately in control. A lot of times philosophers and theologians, when they wrestle with the problem of evil, as it's called, for how could there be a good God if evil and suffering exist in the world? And obviously every time a massacre like what happened in Nashville occurs, we hear that talk, or we ponder it ourselves, or we wonder that ourselves when we get a health diagnosis we didn't expect, or when we lost a loved one to something we didn't expect, or we found out that we have this health predicament or this challenge, or when our children are going through struggles, or our marriages are going through struggles, or whatever is befalling our lives, we wonder, how can God really be so good? And how can he also be all powerful? And so some try to say, well, maybe God's good, but he's not all that powerful. Or maybe God's powerful, but he's not all that good. He doesn't really care about the intricate details of our lives. But the Bible says God always leads us in Christ. He is good, and he is in control. And why he allows certain things that he allows but doesn't allow other things, well, that's the mystery. That's the question. God had it so that with this particular school shooting, this shooter was stopped within 14 minutes. Why with the other massacre in Uvalde? Why did that take 73 minutes, where many more lives were lost? I mean, those are the kind of questions that I think we all have for God. Why did you permit this but not permit that? And those are all part of the grand mystery of history. And I believe that we'll one day get those answers. But for right now, we have to choose whether we're going to trust that God knows what we don't, and that he is indeed leading us. But the Bible doesn't just tell us that God is leading us. It doesn't just tell us that he's ultimately in control. It also tells us he's leading us toward an outcome. And that outcome, regardless of the details of how we get there, as painful as they may be, is triumphal procession in Christ. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has us in the future, when it's all said and done, triumphant, victorious. And this is echoed throughout the scriptures. Paul says we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. Bible says that the suffering of this life is not worth comparing with the glory that will one day be revealed in us and to us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That tells us that everything, all things, good, bad, and ugly, God is using and working to perfect that which concerns us. Romans chapter 5 echoes this. It tells us we should rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, Romans says, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. We must trust in God's love, his unfailing, unchanging, unshakable love. In Isaiah, God says, though the hills be shaken and the mountains be moved, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. So that tells us that despite the shifting chaos of our world, and despite the changes that we may have to endure that we didn't foresee that may happen all around us, One thing that will not be shakable, one thing that cannot be moved, is the assurance we have of Christ and of His love for us and of our security in Him and of knowing the outcome. We know how the Bible ends, as Billy Graham once said. Everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be okay, and God will win. He will triumph over evil. Though now, for right at this point in our lives and in history, we have to endure evil. We have to endure pain. We have to endure adversity. We have to endure hurt and tragedy and loss. But know that God is using all of it and working it all towards not only our good, but toward our triumph. And the ultimate good that God is working in all of us is to make us more like His Son. But you know, the path that leads to triumph is one that is paved by pain and trial. And we do not have a God who is unmoved or unable to empathize, sympathize, and have compassion for the journey that we are all on, because our own Savior went through it as well. Our Savior came, and our Savior had to endure a very painful road that led to His eventual triumph. And out of that triumph and out of that victory means redemption and reconciliation with God for all of us who place our faith and our trust in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible gives us some insight into how Christ was able to be motivated to go through all that He went through. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that all of us, as we ourselves, are on the road that we're on, and for each of us, that's going to be different with different details. After the author of Hebrews tells us, having talked about the hall of faith in Hebrews 11 and the heroes of faith who went through what they went through to get to where they are now, Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us that we should look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, so that He could sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. So first, there's practical advice for all of us. We should look to Jesus. How are we going to get to the finish line of life and of all the trials and tests that come with living the Christian life? How are we going to endure through hurt and pain? How are we going to get through another day with all that we have to go through? Well, the scriptures tell us by looking to Jesus, by keeping our eyes, our hearts, and our minds fixed on Jesus, and remembering that Jesus Himself, the author and perfecter of our faith, Himself had a road of pain that led to triumph. It says the joy that was set before Him is what motivated Him, because He knew by enduring the cross, by enduring the shame of the cross and of the pain that He would have to go through, He knew that it would lead toward our salvation and His resurrection. In our case, we don't know all the details. We don't know why things are happening that we have to go through. But as one quote from Charles Spurgeon says, "Let's not forget what we do know when we face questions that we don't know the answer to." We may not know why God permits certain things in our lives. We may not know the rhyme or reason as to why we had to lose this loved one, or why we have to face this challenge, or why circumstances play out the way that they do in our lives. But we do know in whom we have believed. We do know that Jesus Christ is triumphant, that He Himself went through a road of pain that led to victory. We do know that He is the one who is leading us. We do know He is ultimately in control. We do know that He loves us, that He is good. And we do know that He is working all things together for our good. And we do know that in Christ, no matter how we end up there, we will be in triumphal procession. And through us, and through our testimony, we will be able to spread everywhere the knowledge of God, the fragrance of knowing Him. And I believe even in this tragedy, even with what this pastor and his family have gone through, and what others have gone through, and what we all go through, God wants to be glorified, and He has a way of turning what is evil into what is good, in turning what was horrible into something that will be honorable toward His name. And so may each of us, as we go through our own road of life that may be paved by pain, that may be paved by hardship, may we remember the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 8. His grace is sufficient, His power is made perfect in our weakness. And we will get through this. And we will get through to absolute victory and triumph in Christ. As I wrap up this episode, a quote that I saw, a meme that says something that I think is very profound, says this: only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. All of us are on that road that will lead to triumph in the end. Don't lose heart, keep the faith, and keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. So I end this episode, as I do each one, admonishing you with the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. May you stand firm in your faith, and let everything that you do be done in love. God bless.